Today on episode number 397 of the School of Podcasting's morning announcements, which you can find by going to schoolofpodcasting.com/397, we've got a phenomenal interview with Chris Christensen from amateurtraveler.com. And of course, your podcast questions answered. We're going to talk about being a serious hobbyist today. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I'm old. I'm your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you are new to the show, I ask you that you give me three episodes. Listen to three. I am somewhat of an acquired taste. And here's what we do. We talk about all things podcasting, from planning to equipment to recording to producing to promoting to monetizing, all points in between. Everything you need to launch a successful podcast is at theschoolofpodcasting.com. What I do is I bring my 20 plus years of technical training to the microphone. We flatten the learning curve, and I let you know that you are never alone in your podcast journey. Well, we've got a lot of content today, and we're still a little light in the because of my podcast story. That's if you can answer the question, because of my podcast. And did you hear that? There's a bunch of people like, oh, yeah, I was going to send one in. Yeah, well, you forgot. And it's okay. I'm not mad. But we're going to talk today a little bit about being a serious hobbyist. But we have a lot of information, and there's no last five and five. We have an interview. And you'll notice when I have interviews, I usually kind of focus on that and then just do questions, which is exactly what we're going to do today. And we've got a great interview, and you're going to hear where this is with Chris Christensen. He's at amateurtraveler.com. And if you want to see some really cool photography, you got to check out his website. It's really, really good stuff. And so I'm not going to, this is a mistake that I often make. I introduce the guest and then play my review, or my review. I play my interview where I then introduce the guest. So how about if we just have the introduction once? Here we go. Awesome. Well, joining me, I'm very excited about this. This is very cool. He's also been podcasting since 2005. Back in the day, it is Chris Christensen from the Amateur Traveler podcast. And Chris, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, it was different back in the day when it was entirely steam driven. So yeah. A lot of people don't remember that.
We need more coal, quick. That's right. The RSS is dying. Yeah.
Actually, I do remember hand coding RSS feeds, so it really was different back in the day. So
now notice this. Yes, I am going to cut in and out of here. Hand coding RSS feeds, we're going to talk about that later. Not a fun task.
Icky. But here's some cool stuff that I see you everywhere. In all the different forums and things like that. So I always see you, but I didn't realize you've got some cool press. You've been mentioned in Men's Journal as one of the four best adventure travel podcasts. You've been in the Chicago Sun-Times, where they included your show in the list of best travel sites, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. You have some phenomenal photography on your website. I was checking it out this morning, and I was like, man, that is just... Some of the pictures of Africa where it looks like you're like 3 feet from an elephant. I know there are these things called telephoto lens.
Yeah, you need to have a telephoto. That's very important.
And also Best Life Magazine, which is a men's magazine, named you as the 10 best podcast on the internet. So there you go. That's going to make you feel warm and fuzzy.
You missed my two favorite, actually.
Oh, wait.
And
National Geographic.
No. So that's old stuff. My other podcast, my other travel podcast, This Week in Travel, has won two North American Travel Journalism Awards. So I am now an award-winning travel journalist. And Amateur Traveler is used to teach English at Oxford University.
How cool is that? Your podcast is being used to teach English. I thought that was cool. And I did that at the beginning. Because obviously, Chris is winning awards. He's being mentioned in major national magazines and websites and such. So this is a guy who's doing it right.
Well, okay. So how does that work?
So it's the English as a foreign language program. So it's not just for incoming freshmen, obviously. But I think many of them actually speak English. But basically, they approached me and said, I think what happened is it's now used at least five different schools. And I think the Canadian public school system, they just look for sample content that people can listen to so that you can grade their understanding of the language. And so they just happened to stumble across Amateur Traveler, I think because it started with a school in Italy, a college in Italy that was training sommeliers. And so it made sense in that space that, hey, let's find some travel information. Let's find some travel podcasts. And that was years ago. And it's just kind of spread. It's going on year, you know, every once in a while they write and say, hey, can we keep using it? It's like, sure. So it's kind of fun.
That is very cool. Now, what's the difference between the two podcasts?
So Amateur Traveler is the older one. It's an 8.5 years old, 402 published episodes, a weekly travel podcast focusing on travel destinations. So each week we go someplace different and usually through somebody else's travels, usually through an interview. So it's a two-person interview show, or usually two people. We were supposed to be three people yesterday, but one person couldn't get on because of bad internet. And then This Week in Travel is a four-person roundtable discussion, and so it's about all sorts of different topics in travel. It's a little less formulaic. We've done more live shows of Amateur Traveler. Of This Week in Travel. We've actually never done a live show of Amateur Traveler. We've done that one even as a keynote presentation for the TBEX, the Travel Blog Exchange Conference, which is the sister conference to NMX in the travel space.
So very
smaller
cool.
conference, same kind of content, a lot cheaper and better parties. So
there you go. That's and that's what counts, really, when it comes down to it. Awesome. So what inspired you to start your podcast?
Well, I'm a podcast junkie. I've been a podcast junkie since 2005. Actually, it was Leo Laporte that started me getting interested in podcasting when he moved his show to the internet from after he closed down, what was his last show? Call for Help, I think.
Yeah.
And so I got into podcasting through that. I subscribe still to, I think 90 podcasts are in my feed or somewhere in that range. And so in May of 2005, I was trying to decide, I really wanted to do a podcast. And I thought about doing a religious podcast. I thought about doing a Mac show, but Adam Christensen was already doing that. And then we had our number of friends over for a Memorial Day picnic, and all the best stories were travel stories. And so Amateur Traveler was born shortly thereafter. July 2nd of 2005 is the first episode date, or at least that's the date on it.
Very cool. Now, the one of the key perks, I guess, of that podcast is obviously it sounds like you started off wanting to interview other people about their travels.
Oh, no. I started out with this thought.
Okay.
You know how this is. You learn as you go. I'm going to talk about my travel stories.
Ah.
Now, the math was a little bit of a problem. If I'd thought about it at the time, I would have realized that I had a full-time job. I've had a full-time job most of the time that I've done Amateur Traveler. And so I traveled 4 weeks a year, and I do 48 episodes a year. I give myself 4 weeks off without relatively guilt-free.
Right.
And that math doesn't add up. You're kind of quickly running through your content. And so I started interviewing friends. It's like, oh, you just went on your first cruise. Let's come and talk about it on the show. And then people who listened to the show started pitching me shows. My favorite pitch, and this was way back in 2005, was a lawyer from Atlanta, Chris Willis, who is a lawyer down there, sent me an email. Hey, I don't know if this would be something you'd be interested in, but we went to Tonga and swam with whales, and I took pictures of the whales underwater, and we do an enhanced podcast with pictures. And I recorded whale song on an hydrophone that I brought along. Would that be of all of interest to you? And now at this point, I would say at least half the shows, probably 2/3 of the shows, are something that someone is pitching me, another travel podcaster or a blogger or a listener of the show saying, hey, you know, can we do a show about such and such? And of course, nowadays I write, well, we've already done a show about that more often than not. But, you know, here's my map, amateurtraveler.com/map, that has pins for most of the places that we've done shows. And there's a lot of pins in that map at this point.
Yeah, 402 of them, apparently.
Yeah, it's probably less than that on the map. I know that there's episodes missing. I just haven't had time to go back.
Got it. So how do you determine Are there any things that get pitched to you that you go, you know, obviously you said if you've already been there, but have you ever had things that, you know, somebody goes, really, you should go to, you know, Beaver Poop, Mississippi or something, or I don't know. Oh, yeah.
No, I get pitched things all the time, and many of which I turn down. I actually have a document up online that that describes what I'm looking for, amateurtraveler.com/pitch-me. And what I'm looking for is I'm targeting, first of all, you have got to know your audience. And so I'm targeting a North American audience because predominantly my listeners are in US and Canada, although quite a lot in other English speaking countries. And then I still get quite a few people who say, I'm using your language to learn English, but I'm sort of focusing on the North American audience. So it's someplace that's worth going from North America and worth going for a week to 2 weeks, because that's kind of how much time a lot of people have. So I don't really want to focus most of the time. I don't focus on the, you know, the big around the world trip or something like that.
Right.
I really focus on, okay, I know you went around the world, but let's talk about one place you went that's worth going for a week to 2 weeks.
Okay. I want to pause that here. Some golden nuggets here. Number one, you notice he learned along the way. So you kind of come out of the gate. This is, again, back in 2005. But now he's saying, what did he just say? The same thing that everybody says, figure out who you're talking to. And we're going to talk about that today and who I talk to. But you can't hit a target if you haven't defined it.
And it's worth flying to. And so, for instance, there's a new wine region that's opened up in California, and we haven't done an episode on it yet because I'm not convinced that it's not a regional destination. If you can convince me that it's worth flying to, then let's talk about it. So, for instance, we've done one on Napa, Sonoma, and Mendocino, that kind of wine area, because people come in there all the time. But this other one that's further south of me in Paso Robles, it's like, yeah, I'm not sure that that's really an amateur traveler story yet.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, your audience is primarily in the U.S. and Canada. If we go back to 2005 and 6 when you first started, how have you, you know, figured out who your audience is over the years?
Well, part of it is I'm hosted at Libsyn, so you get some stats there in terms of where things are downloaded from. The one thing that's a little confusing there is that I know that some of my listeners are travelers who are downloading on the road, and so that throws off the stats a little bit. And then, you know, I do have demographic surveys, although usually for the where they're coming from, I usually look at where they're downloading from. But I mean, one of the behaviors that we've seen that I have to account for is, so we did a show about 6 months ago that the Vienna, Austria Tourism Board recommended a guest to us. And they recommended a guest who runs a tiny obscure museum in Vienna that's based on the movie The Third Man. I don't know if you know this movie, but it's a post-World War II spy movie, Cold War movie set in Vienna. So obscure little museum. And 8 days later, two different groups walked into the museum and said, hey, we heard about you in the Amateur Traveler. And, you know, get this wonderful letter back from the guest. But what they had done in one behavior that we see with people listening to the show that I do myself is I'm now about to head to such and such. What does Chris have to say about that destination? So they downloaded it and listened on the plane. And so we'll see that behavior. And then we'll also see the people who say, you know, I've got 20 episodes that are in the can, that are saved in my iTunes or saved on my phone or whatever that are my to-do list. You know, you talk about 50 destinations this year and I'll pick up five of them that are, hey, I really want to go there sometime. And I do that.
So here, I'm going to interrupt. Sorry, Chris, I'm interrupting you here. Chris is seen as a trusted friend. The people are taking his advice and they're going to places based on his podcast. Again, the power of podcasting here. And, so it's just very cool to hear how he's got this connection now with his audience. They're in some cases, the audience is the host, right? They're using their story as part of the content. In some cases, I love the fact I'm going someplace. They've already decided it. Now I want to get the most out of my trip here. I'm going to go with somebody who's already been there and done that and make sure I don't miss anything. Awesome.
Myself these days, I've done some of the trips we've talked about because after I heard them, I went, I got to get to the Yucatan, for instance, and do the Rutupuk down of the Mayan ruins south of Merida or something like that. So,
because it's fun just to say Rutupuk.
It is fun to say Rutupuk. That is absolutely true.
Well, many moons ago, you were on a podcast I did called the Power of Podcasting, and we've now kind of moved that into Because of My Podcast. So what are some of the fun things because of your podcast that have happened that wouldn't have happened without starting Amateur Traveler?
Probably the biggest benefit that I see, because I'm the world's worst salesperson. So in terms of like ads and sponsorships, I don't have what I should have just because, you know, if you don't pick up the phone call and try and make any sales calls, you don't tend to make a lot of sales. That's right. One of the things I've learned over the years. But on the other hand, you know, this year, for instance, I was in a 1 week press tour to Belgium as they look to observe the 100th anniversary of the start of World War One, which is here in 2014. Or I went to Japan for the first time because ANA Airlines wanted me to review their new route from San Jose to Tokyo. And so they flew me to Japan, put me up in a nice hotel for, you know, a few days. And then I extended that into a trip elsewhere in Japan as well. So those kind of trips and things like that are probably one of the things that's been the nicest perk, you know, and some other weird things. So this year, the most money I made actually was the bizarre thing. I did a sponsorship, and it was a sponsorship from the National Pork Board in 2013. I was one of the Pork Five. Now, certainly you've heard of us. But they reached out to four bloggers and one podcaster, me, in different areas. I think there was a food blogger, a family blogger, a hospitality blogger, somebody who blogs about throwing parties, which I didn't even know there were such things. Makes sense when you think about it. And I don't even remember what the fourth one was. And they were basically sponsoring posts on the site. I got it through the podcast. That's how they heard about me. And then they flew me down to South By. Not for the conference. I actually didn't get to the South by Southwest conference, but I did meet some friends who were there, but for a pork dinner. I was down in Texas for two nights and flew down from California to go to the nicest barbecue place in Texas, or one of the top 10 in the world, according to Bon Appetit magazine. It was good. It was very good. But I don't know if I can rate it as the top 10, but it's one of the nicest ones I've been to. And basically they were inviting some people who were big social media heavy hitters from South by Southwest to come over, some of whom made it, some of whom didn't. And they wanted me to kind of be there, down there and document it. It was like, okay. So
sure.
Bizarre things like that. So, and they, you know, they pay, so.
There you go. Why not? Hey, free dinner, go free trip to Austin or Texas or wherever you're at. That's very, very cool. Well, speaking of without getting into your wallet, I see where you've had t-shirts and you have your awesome photography for sale. Is there anything of that's worked and some of it that hasn't worked, or is any of it working? Or
We can get into my wallet. The best year that I've made doing Amateur Traveler was probably the year that I took off time to do it more full time. And that year, I think I brought in about $28,000. So not quit your day job kind of money. Well, not if your day job is software engineering, at least. So it depends a lot on what you're doing in your day job. If it's McDonald's, that would work very well. And what has worked has changed over time. So this year, probably I'll make more money from sponsorships and then from guest posts than anything else. I've made, you know, some money from sponsorships on the podcast, probably more from the blog, not because it's more valuable, because I have a much bigger audience on the podcast. The podcast does about 1 million downloads a year. So, you know, there's more sponsorship opportunity there, but there just isn't quite as much interest. You know, people don't naturally think about doing, hey, you know, really to complete this campaign, we have to do a podcast sponsorship. So that takes a little more work.
Got it. And are those sponsorships coming from, are you pursuing them? Are they pursuing you? Is it coming from Libsyn or PodTrack, or
haven't tended to get much through, not working with PodTrack anymore. Worked with them way back in the day. I've worked with a lot of people over the time. I've did a little work with Todd at Raw Voice, but I was supposed to be the salesperson, which was foolish on both our parts. And then I am with Libsyn, as I said, don't really get a whole lot through them. So if I get anything, it is 80% of the time somebody coming to me and 20% of the time me getting off my duff and actually going and pursuing something.
Now, how do you, for somebody who's never had a sponsor, how do you go about proving to your sponsor that, do you just do screenshots and say, here, you can see where this episode was downloaded X amount of times, or what do you provide to the sponsor? You know, after
the numbers, I don't know that anyone has really ever asked for screenshots, but certainly, you know, that's something I could do. Yeah.
Right. Okay,
cool. I've had people do that with Google Analytics, which is a screen that they're much more familiar with seeing. As I sign up for different programs or whatever, I might be asked to, you know, can you send us a Google Analytics numbers or something like that? But yeah, not so much with Ellipse and numbers, but I'll often pitch. So for instance, I put out a pitch to Mexico. I'm still hoping to hear back saying, you know, love to do some more work with you. Hey, we've done 5 shows on Mexico recently or within the last, I think, 5 years or something like that. Cause I don't have the numbers from before I went to Ellipse, and cause I was with Mevio before that.
Right.
Pod show, you know, Fruitcast and some other things way back in the day. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The Fruitcast.
Okay, I want to pause that here. Notice he's saying here, he's reaching out to, in this case, Mexico, and you'll hear how I ask him about that. But he said even earlier, he said he needs to get up, and if he wants sponsors, he has to go get them. Now, granted, now that he's got all this press and he's more well-known in the space and he's winning awards, people are coming to him. But you'll notice here that even with that, he's still not sitting down. He's still getting up and making phone calls. And you'll love how he does this. Check this out.
Cobweb, I haven't dusted off in a while.
Exactly. But so with some of those, you know, basically I pitched them and said, you know, this show got 8,000 downloads. This one got 32,000 downloads or something like that, and tried to make a case for why they should work with me. All of those things take longer than you would think is part of the thing that I have discovered.
Well, when you say I reached out to Mexico.
I reached out to Mexico. Yeah, I just sent a letter to Mexico.
Dear Mexico, yes.
So, no, at that point, you go into LinkedIn and you say, who do I know who is working with Mexico? And then also, and you know, discovered a couple people, sent word out to a couple other bloggers or writers who I knew have done things with the Mexico Tourism Board. And specifically at that point, I'm looking for the Tourism Board or the PR Board or their marketing agency, or the kind of the three groups that I'm looking for. The other thing that I have that's an advantage in the travel space that I'm trying to do more of is, so you went to NMX this year and there was a speed networking portion of the program.
How was that?
Well, I only did a couple things there because the sponsors weren't really good match for me. I thought the software that they used, though, was really outstanding.
There you go.
I wrote it. But, you know, that could be what – that's actually the plan. My plan, I quit the day job recently to go work on a startup, which is Blogger Bridge, which is the software to help connect companies with bloggers and podcasters.
Very cool.
So we use that at NMX. But when we use that at TBEX, it's very different because then you have sponsors who aren't there trying to sell you, you know, AdSense replacement or affiliate things, but who are the government of Croatia trying to, you know, saying, hey, we want to work with travel bloggers or travel podcasters, and you know, clearly they want to have some people over to see the country and want to work with you if you're in country and things like that. So there are things like that in the blogger and podcaster, well, the blogger space that the podcasters kind of glom onto also. And then there are also things like that in the travel writer space. They've been doing this in the travel space for years. So for instance, I'm going to Canadian Media Marketplace, or I went to VMEX, which are basically conferences that the only thing at the conference is this speed networking.
Well, for somebody who's never speed dated, you know,
yes,
maybe somebody hears this and they go, "Ooh, I should look into this.
Of bad dating stories, as I recall, although perhaps not enough to do a podcast in. Right?
No. what should somebody who thinks, you know what, I'm going to go to this, you know, whatever expo that it's in the, you know, the Poughkeepsie Expo, and they see they have a speed dating service, what should somebody who's getting ready to do their first speed dating, what should they be doing? What are people looking for in speed dating?
Well, I think part of the thing that you have to do is, and this is something that's useful in networking at a conference as well, or working with any sponsors or things like that, is I would start with an elevator pitch. You know who you are. Know why you do what you do, know who your audience is that you are presenting. You know, to be able to say, I have predominantly a North American audience, this is their demographics, you know, their income is roughly this, their, you know, all of those sorts of things that a sponsor might be interested in knowing. And then also to know which sponsors just aren't a match for you. You don't pitch to sponsors that don't match with your audience, that you can't provide value for. And then I think part of the thing is also to go and listen. What are you trying to accomplish? So, for instance, the Belgium trip, I went and talked to the representative at the TBEX, the Travel Blog Exchange Conference in North America in Toronto last June, and met the I don't remember if I met the person that I went to Belgium with or I met one of their coworkers, but, you know, I knew that they wanted to work with bloggers. And so I said, you know, what are the programs? What are your messages that you're trying to get out this year? What are your campaigns? Because they usually have different campaigns. And I don't remember what the first one was, but it was, you know, maybe it was a food thing or something like that. And it's like, well, I don't know that that's really me. I don't know that I'm the, you're the right person that you should work with that. And then they said, well, we've got one coming up that's on World War One history. It's like, okay, now you're talking my language. I'm a huge, huge history nut. And if you listen to my podcast, you are either a history nut or I have driven you crazy. So, because I'm going to bring up the history anyway, whether you like it or not. So, you know, it's like, okay, that is a match for my audience. So tell me more about that. And so doing enough listening to figure out, can you help them get to where they're trying to go? Because that's really what a lot of people just come and say, hey, give me free stuff. And strangely enough, that is not an effective pitch.
Yeah. Well, what's you say you get a million downloads a year. That is impressive, my friend. What goes into making an episode of Amateur Traveler, and how long does it take to produce an episode?
And first, let me put that in context. I get a 1.3 million downloads total for all the travel shows, and then I actually do a Bible study podcast, which I think gets another 200,000. Amateur Traveler, what's in a day? A typical episode of the Amateur Traveler, because it is both an edited show, because we find that guests are more comfortable when you're doing an interview show. If you screw it up, just go ahead and say it again. We basically spend about an hour editing for every 10 minutes that we talk. And then it also has the iTunes enhanced versions with pictures and links. So a typical show from start to finish, I think, is about 8 hours of production time. Now, fortunately, 5 hours of that are now done by my editor. So I don't do the audio edit and I don't put in the pictures anymore. So yesterday I did 3 interviews to try and get ahead. So spent about an hour on the Skype with people doing their usual recording. Drop that into a GarageBand file and Dropbox, push it off to my editor. And then when he is ready, he will, you know, edit sometime in the middle of the night because he's very young, and he will return them to me. And then I'll finish off the show every Saturday. We come out with a new show.
And then how long is an episode?
It depends on the destination. The shortest episode we've done recently was 25 minutes. I've got another one coming up that's going to be about that length. And then the longest that we've done recently is about an hour. I would say we shoot for about 35 minutes.
Well, you have a virtual assistant now, so that's fun.
I have 2 part-time virtual assistants, one who helps me with some of the posts and one who does the editing, yeah.
And where did you find them at?
Well, my son was doing the editing for quite a while. He started doing it because he needed credits for college as an intern, internship credits. And so he started doing all my audio editing for a while. And then he got a job and didn't want to do it anymore, but had a roommate who was looking for some work. So it's actually my son's roommate who does that. And then the other VA got through the show. I basically put out on the show and said, hey, I'm looking for hiring a VA to help me out with some things. And so somebody who was a listener of the show actually said, I do VA work. I'd love to do it. So that was very nice.
Well, I see on your website, it looks like you have, is this a open or private? Is that a Facebook group or?
It's a Facebook, not a group, but a
page?
Page, fan page, whatever we're calling those these days.
Got it. And is that your primary way of communicating with your audience or?
Oh, Facebook, Twitter,
yeah,
Google+, mailing list. And then I've got a microphone in front of me, you know, once a week also.
There you go. That helps. Well, speaking of gear and
now,
stuff,
you know, we should say that they don't always respond. as we were just talking about, you thought you were the Susan Lucci of the podcast.
Yeah, that's it.
Having lost 4 times in a row, and I have lost every time there has been. I think it's every time there has been a travel category, which I think started in 2006. I have been nominated and lost to Lou Mangiello of WDW Radio. So, you know, if you want to talk about engaging your audience, talk to Lou.
That's it.
Awesome. So you really should talk to Lou anyway.
I stand down. I'm no longer. I will not take that crown.
Oh, well.
But it's always nice
to be nominated.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little gear. What are you using for your mailing list?
The mailing list, I'm using MailChimp.
Yeah, that seems to be a popular choice. Not quite as expensive as the old AWeber.
Yeah, I used AWeber for a while. I just didn't find that it could do anything that I wasn't doing with MailChimp.
I got to say, right now, you sound great for somebody who's using hotel Wi-Fi over Skype. So what kind of microphone are you using?
Oh, this is the one that was recommended on the Podcaster Roundtable. The, what is it? The Audio-Technica 2100. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've been traveling with a Blue Yeti, and that's my standard microphone, is just a Yeti. So I don't use a board or anything like that. I just do USB into the computer. I've been doing that for 8.5 years. Works fine. Well, haven't been using the Yeti for that long, obviously. But it's not a great travel microphone. It's particularly heavy, and when you go through the TSA, it looks like a pipe bomb. But other than that, so you take it out, you put it in the trays just so they can take a look at it, because otherwise you always get stopped.
Right. There you go. And I before we started to hit record, you said you're using Call Recorder on the Mac to record your Skype interviews.
Correct.
And the good thing I've heard, you're now the second person that I've talked to that has recorded extensively using that, and you said the only time that you've ever had a problem was
when I forgot to press record. Yeah, actually, and normally that's not a problem because you can tell Call Recorder to always record every time you start Skype conversation, which is how it's set to right now. I'm recording a Call Recorder right now. I didn't tell it to. It just always does.
Right.
But what happened was recently, the last time this happened is I had switched computers. And when I switched computers, that didn't get set up by default. And so I actually did. You remember how I mentioned some episodes are as long as an hour? Mm-hmm. I did one of the longer episodes with, fortunately, a good friend, a co-host for This Week in Travel, Gary Arndt, who does a very, very popular travel blog. And it was not there. there was nothing. That I went to look at the file, and it had not started recording because I rely on it starting automatically at this point.
That's always, then you have to do the call of shame.
Yes.
That's always fun. You mentioned you do an enhanced podcast.
Correct.
What ratio wise of, I'm assuming you do like the traditional MP3 and an enhanced.
MP3 and an enhanced podcast. And for years, the enhanced podcast has been the most popular format. Typically by far in my audience, I would say 60-70%, although that's evening out. It's interesting. Now I'm starting to see the rise of the MP3 over the enhanced podcast. So it's probably in December, it's probably about 50-50.
Yeah, they keep making it harder to view that.
Yeah. They do. I feel somewhat slighted because I got talked into doing the enhanced podcast by the Apple engineer who implemented enhanced podcasts, who used to work for me when I worked at Apple. So, I feel, hey, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for talking me into something that you're now making it 12 hoops to see the pictures and such.
Oh, well.
Awesome. Well, and of course, the traditional. Before we do that, I think what I just listened to was a classic example of me probably trying to figure out my next question. The guy just said he worked for Apple, and I was like, oh, yeah, he worked for Apple. Okay, good. This is where I say interviewing is not as easy as it sounds, because I would have loved how you worked for Apple, and I just, yeah, okay, great. And I'm looking for my next question. So always listen while you're interviewing. It's hard to do. Interviewing is not super easy. What have you, any things that you go, besides not pressing the record button, but anything that you used to do that you don't do anymore because you just said, that's not working?
Hand editing the RSS feed, but that has been something.
Yeah.
I actually thought about dropping the enhanced podcast because it is additional work. It's another hour of work, and did query my audience and threatened that I would drop it when it looked like we were going to lose the ability to do it when I upgraded the software. Because, the rumor went out, oh my gosh, GarageBand, the new GarageBand doesn't support it. So I didn't end up dropping that. I got enough interest from the people saying, no, just please don't drop that. I love seeing the pictures of where you're talking about. So I didn't drop that. So is there anything I have dropped? Well, there's a lot of things I dropped over the years, but nothing recently. I'm kind of in a you know, I have my process. I have my checklist of things.
At this point, you've got it figured out.
Well, I don't want to figure it out, but at least I have a checklist. I have a checklist of everything I do in the episode, and then I have a checklist for everything that I do to promote the episode afterwards. For instance, I will always email the and tweet the tourism board saying, hey, we just talked about you. You know, wouldn't you like to promote it? And some people are smart enough to realize they should because they've just gotten free content. They didn't have to send anybody anywhere, pay any money. And quite a few just don't even respond. But, you know, I still do that every time. Give the people who I interviewed on the show a player so they can put it on their site and make sure that I tag them in all of the things that I put out on social media so that they can resend it out to their audience. And I mean, all the things that, you know, anybody who's thinking about things is doing.
Yeah. And you've done a good step in making it easy to. Do you just use the code from Libsyn then and just send them this and say, here, paste this into your website?
Yeah, but I usually put ahead of that a link back to the episode. So I send them the HTML. That's the player from Libsyn, the MP3 player in specific. And then above that, I put a link back to the episode so that if they grab the whole thing, they are pasting a link on their page as well.
Ah, very cool tip. You attend a lot of conferences. Did you just basically do Google travel conferences and hit search?
No. So, the TPEX conference actually started by accident about 5 years ago when someone said there was a woman named Kim Mance who was going to be in Chicago and the BlogHer conference was there. And so she invited, it started with five friends over to, hey, let's talk about travel blogging ahead of the conference and just, you know, sleep on the floor in my living room. And then someone said, well, should we invite the guys too? And and it ended up being 100 of us in a building that right downtown across from the CloudGate or the Bean sculpture, if you know what that is, in Millennial Park. And in that has now turned into a twice yearly conference, once in North America and once in Europe. So I have gone to almost all of those, all but one. And then that's the biggest conference I do every year because it's the travel space. And then I've, through those friends, through the people I've met there, through the people who run that conference, they've suggested, oh, hey, you should also do Canadian Media Marketplace. You should also do VEMEX and so all these other things that I'd never even heard of. And actually now with Blogger Bridge, I'm actually a partner with Rick Calvert who runs NMX. And so he's coming up with the, you should go to the conference. The conference that is for people who run conferences. You know, we should talk about how to sell Blogger Bridge as a speed networking solution and things like that.
Okay, so this is a great thing on networking. Notice that he got with some friends who said, should we bring these people? And they said this and that. So one of the things you can do when you have a guest and you're networking with somebody, ask them, do you have a pencil? Write this one down. When you have a guest that's a good guest and you're like, wow, this is really good stuff, and I should have done this with Chris, ask them, do you know of anybody else who would be a good guest for this show? Because birds of a feather flock together.
So, you know, there is a huge wide world out there of conferences, many of which are, you know, too expensive for a podcaster's budget, and some of which are not, and some of which are very cool.
Well, let's. The other thing we should probably plug, you mentioned you have a Bible study podcast. Where can people find that?
TheBibleStudyPodcast.com. Yeah, I got real clever with the naming of that one.
That is. I always say go for something that's easy to understand. And is that a weekly thing? Or
that is a weekly. That one comes out weekly as well. Yeah, in a typical week, I do 2.5 shows a week because this week in travel is about every other week.
Very cool. Awesome. Okay. Well, you can find Chris at AmateurTraveler.com and TheBibleStudyPodcast.com, right?
That's right.
Did I get that right? Okay. There was a "the" in there. Okay.
There is a "the" in that one. Yes.
Excellent.
Somebody else beat me to Bible study podcast. That is great. Oh,
that's no fun. You have to hunt them down and beat them.
In that space, we frown on that, I should say.
Yeah, I would think. You know, I am going to throw one more question. I keep thinking I'm done. I'm like, wait. Because there are a lot of traveling podcasts. And it sounds like you network.
Not as many as you'd think.
Okay.
Not as many as in a lot of other spaces. But we certainly, with the ones that have been around for a while, you know, it feels like our own little club. We certainly support each other because, you know, we share two common interests. So,
well, that was my question. Some people that think podcasting is radio, right? And they come from the Howard Stern school of promotion where you beat down your quote competition and you know smash them and hold funerals and things like that. Why do you think podcasters, because I do the same thing, why do you think it is that we don't seem to go that route, that we tend to embrace our competition?
Well, it's possible we're just stupid, but I choose to think otherwise. So I can tell you that when we have, for instance, Corey from Irish Fireside on This Week in Travel, we get the best numbers we ever get because he mentions it to his audience. They know what a podcast is. They want to hear more of Corey. And so there really is some natural cross promotion. And he's talking about Ireland. I talk about Ireland, you know, once a year, maybe once every 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to go to Ireland, you should listen to his show. You know, duh. I'll send you to his show if you tell me you're going to go to Ireland. But if you don't want to go to Ireland, well, you should listen to my show.
Right.
So if he's got somebody who's going someplace else, he's going to recommend it my way. And so there really is enough different spaces. Craig and Linda from Indie Travel Podcast, you know, great friends, great people. They're doing more backpacking and how to travel. While I'm doing more of the, you know, destination space. And Gary Bembridge and I, we overlap a bit in terms of he does different travel destinations, but he's got a different style. He does, you know, the 10 things you should know. It's not an interview show. He's been to all those places. And then he does a cruise show. We don't do that many cruise episodes. So there really is one. It's a huge, huge space. There used to be, you know, back in 2006, 2007, a lot more mainstream brands in the space too, but most of them have dropped out. We outlasted, you know, the Lonely Planets and some of those. New York Times had a travel podcast there for a while. So there's some of the radio shows that are in the space who really are on their own. They don't tend to interact with anybody else. Rick Steves and Rudy Maxa. And Pauline Frommer, well, Pauline Frommer's been on my show, but a lot of those shows don't tend to interact with the podcast space. But the podcasters, yeah, we're friends.
So here is the real reason I thought about this today. Why radio people don't interact with, you know, on radio, you try to kill your competition. It's because they're on at the same time. If you think about that, right? The morning guys don't talk about the other morning guys because they're on at the same time. With podcasting and its time shiftedness, you don't have to worry about that. When you're done listening to me, go listen to Daniel J. Lewis over at theaudacitypodcast.com. He did a great episode on kind of what Chris was talking about, being in the same niche as other people and how you can bring your own kind of spin to it. So I can say that because, look, there's 7 days in a week. You can listen to me on Monday. You can listen to Daniel on Tuesday. You can listen to Ray Ortega on Wednesday and everybody else, right? So yes, we are competition, but we don't have that same thing of being on at the same time.
Very cool. And then those people are missing out on the added promotion. So,
well, there you go.
That's what they get. So awesome. Well, Mr. Christensen, thank you so much, man.
You're welcome.
It's great to talk to you, and you're a funny dude, man.
Well, thank you.
you it's funny. I love people that make me laugh, and your sarcasm is right up my alley, and
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, all right, everybody go check out Chris at amateurtraveler.com.
It is a really cool site, and thank you to Chris for coming on the show. Really, really good guy. Really like that guy. So, look, we're at 49 minutes, so let's get to some questions. And first, we get a comment.
Hi, Dave. This is Scott Johnson from the weekly Computer Tutor podcast at ComputerTutorFlorida.com. I just listened to your podcast review show episode where you reviewed the One Word Go show.
Yeah.
Dave, there's a group of people that I like to especially honor whenever I get a chance, and that's our veterans. Those people that have fought for our country, they've put themselves in harm's way so that we here in the U.S. can continue to enjoy the freedom that we've been blessed with, and, you know, we all too often take it for granted. Much like a new soldier who might go into battle for the first time not really knowing what to expect, you decided to take on the task of listening to an entire episode.
Yes, I did.
Of the One Word Go show podcast.
Ugh.
Perhaps if you'd fully known what was coming your way, you might have hesitated, but like a true soldier, you pressed on. Dave, today you fought the good fight for your listening audience. Because of your sacrifice, we won't accidentally listen to even a minute of that show, or God forbid, subscribe to it. Personally, I can't imagine the horror / boredom of listening to such inane and uncreative garbage. as you played some of the clips from that show, it kind of made me think that this is what Beavis and Butthead must have sounded like before they matured into those comedy geniuses that we saw on MTV. Dave, your tour of duty is over.
Yes.
Welcome home. And thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir. With obviously Scott being sarcastic there. If you want to check that out, podcastreviewshow.com/29. The only thing I regret about that show is they pulled me out of my professionalism. Right? I sell that as constructive criticism. And so if I say, well, your sound levels are all over the place and you're missing some album art, that's constructive. But when I say your show is crap, that's not really constructive. And by the end of that show, I was so frustrated with their content that, and for the record, they say they're immature and they cuss a lot, and they do. And if you like that kind of show, go listen to podcastreviewshow.com/29. But basically what I said in it is that you need to take, you know, good content typically does not happen. We heard how Chris spends all this time editing, and he goes there, and he even said, you know, contacting sponsors and things like that takes a little more time than he thought it would. It doesn't typically just fall off the tree ready to go. And so let me play a quick clip. This is from a couple of weeks ago from Keith and the Girl. How do you guys make your show better than anybody else's?
We're willing to talk about personal things.
Okay.
And I also think it's the care that we take into it. It's our job. And even before we knew it was going to be our job, we took it very seriously. We did our show in our spare bedroom in our apartment. We didn't treat it as though that's what we were doing. We took it seriously. We had our notes, talking points in case we ran out of, okay, we exhausted this topic. And now what? You know, just something always ready to go. We take it dead serious. We know we're going to be judged by this, so we're going to put out the best show we can. And you hear podcasts, the majority, quite frankly, do not take it seriously. They take it as though they are talking into a $30 mic. No one needs to know. Give a good show.
So, yeah. And we heard in that interview with Keith and the Girl that they spend about 4 hours for a 1 hour show that they do 5 days a week. They're now doing that full time. That is their job now, is their podcast. And they treat it like their job and they love it. They love it, but it doesn't happen by accident. And the One Word Go show, they basically have the audience send in a word and they do an episode on it, which consists of lots of cussing and comedy that I don't understand. So I want to bring up another comment here, though. This is from my buddy Scott from Down Under.
G'day, Dave, and
g'day.
Greetings from Australia.
G'day.
My name's Scott Boyd, and I have a podcast called Karate Tournament Tips and Tricks. It's just a simple podcast. It only goes for a very short time, each tip, and it's just to help people that are competing in martial arts tournaments. Firstly, I just want to make some comments, if I may.
Sure.
Firstly, is how much I really do enjoy your show. It's absolutely wonderful, and I've certainly learned a lot of cool tricks off it.
Thanks for listening.
The second thing is that the show that I do, I never intended to have an audience of tens of thousands of listeners, but it's there just to help those people that are competing in martial arts tournaments. So it's not a huge production by any standard.
Okay.
And I think that's one thing I sometimes miss on your show a little bit, I suppose, and that is podcasting on the super cheap. To put it lightly, I suppose, to say is that the family management or the Gestapo or her indoors, whatever you'd like to say, doesn't like me spending any money at all on my podcasting because she thinks it's one of those unnecessary things. So I've got to do it on the super, super, super cheap. Now, I certainly know there's a few pitfalls in what I'm doing, but I thought I'd just let you know that this is the way I do it.
Okay, I'm going to stop here, and then we'll listen to how he does it. There are a few pitfalls. No, there are a lot of pitfalls. And this is where, you know, it's not a big deal that I've been doing this since 2005, but we heard how Chris started off one direction and then switched. And he said, you know, had he thought this out, had he thought long term, he would have known that I can't do this with just my stories. And so that's one of the things we're going to get into here. But and I'll also explain why I don't talk about podcasting on the cheap, because I actually do.
Firstly, I was involved in some video work, so lucky I was able to get some good sound gear early in the piece. And, yeah, no, the sound gear's pretty good, but I always look to upgrade if I can. The problem for me, more the point is, paying for hosting. That's where those monthly fees, et cetera, can upset management a little bit. The way they see it sometimes is it's just another expense unnecessarily. Now, with our normal internet access and phone comes a bundle package where we get internet access. With that comes a certain amount of web hosting. And I think this is a good tip, and maybe for people that are starting out before they want to pay for excessive web hosting, is using this idea. The problem is that our web host will not accept WordPress without paying a premium to do that.
Because they're not a web host, it's a phone company.
So I use Absolute RSS Editor. It's really, really good. Once you get used to it and understand...
Once you get used to it and understand it, that means there's a learning curve.
Then how it works, uploading an episode only takes a couple of minutes, if that. It's just a matter of duplicating then and putting your relevant information about the episode in. It's really, really quick and easy to do. You just use something like FileZilla to upload all the relevant files. And it's
FileZilla is another software you then have to learn.
It's done. Very simple. Anyway, I hope that helps somebody. Thanks, Dave. I really enjoy your show.
Scott, thank you so much. And I'm not poo-pooing your idea. And I'm not, you know, we have a difference of opinion here. And this is where I talk about the serious hobbyist. That's who I understand. Number one, if you're in a situation where spending $5 a month for a Libsyn account is too much, number one, go listen to my buddy Steve Stewart over at moneyplansos.com. He can help you with your personal finances. I've done episodes on this. In fact, this is kind of a repeat. I've been kind of on a kick. Everybody's asking me about how do I do this cheap? And I keep saying, don't do it cheap. And if you're like, and the other thing I need to say to Scott, dude, if I turn around here, I'm looking at 300, 300, 900, 250, 120. Those are all guitars. And I got those when I was married. So I completely understand how do you do a hobby and get it past the wife without her going, what? And all you got to do is say, honey, how many pairs of shoes do you own again? And how many feet do you have? And yet you have 37 pairs of shoes. You know, it's, there are things you can do. And the other thing, boy, I wish we're going to go over an hour today. Because I don't want to cut this short. I am going to cut off the last question I was going to do. And this I've learned, and this is something I'm horrible at, just to be straight up with you. Many times it's not the money unless you're really, 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 really strapped for cash, in which case, don't do it. But many times it's not the money that wives are upset about. It's the time. We heard how Keith and the girl spend 4 hours for an hour show. We heard how Chris spends about 8 hours per episode. It's not the money that the women are upset about. It's the time away from their husband. Did you hear that? That's the sound of every podcaster in their car right now nodding their head going, yeah, he's got a point there. And that's why I have to podcast in a separate office. When I had my podcasting gear at home, I couldn't stop. And it drove my wife crazy. And now I'm focused. I come in here, I do my podcast, and I get out of here. So now, the other thing is, realize, as a podcast consultant, I get paid nicely to help people clean up messes, and those messes involve podcasting for free. So when, I'm going to try to say this quickly. When I first moved out of my parents' house, I moved to an apartment, and then I moved to another apartment, which was right across the parking lot. So I had to pick up everything I owned and move it, I don't know, 80 feet. It was a hassle. I didn't have to rent a truck, but it was a hassle. Moving is a hassle. And so if somebody said, Dave, save your money, be a little cramped, and take the money that you are going to spend on a bigger apartment and move into a house instead of another apartment. Looking back, I would have said, yeah, I would have done that. I should have just lived a little cramped for another year, taking the money I saved on rent and put it towards a down payment on a house, right? Somebody with experience can avoid you making that move and avoiding that pain. And I'm trying to help you avoid pain. Now, you say podcasting on the cheap. I'm telling you, don't go to these different, there are different places that will charge you $30, $40, $70 for a domain name. I'm like, no, go to Namecheap.com. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/domain check. And that will do that. Use GoDaddy for your domain name. Don't use these places that are going to charge you $30, $40 a month for your web host. Go to HostGator. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/hosting. Use the coupon code PODCASTCOACH. It'll save you 25% off. And then you're like, yeah, but that's still $8 a month. Okay, there's got to be something in your life, whether it's soda, whether it's something that you're spending money on that you don't need to spend money on. And just show that to the missus. Hey, I was going to spend $1.50 on pop today. I'm going to put it in this jar. And then you walk in there. I was going to spend another $1.50 on soda on pop today. Here's another. Now I got $3. And at the end of the month, you'll have more than enough money to pay for your hosting. And you'll be in better shape. So there is money to pay for your podcasting. And if there isn't, if you're like, no, I drink water all day. Here's what I did. And I apologize. I realize I've been kind of on this kick, but I keep getting this question. So that means people still need to hear this. I did some research. If I join a bowling league, it's $4 a game every night that I bowl. So once a week, I would bowl 4 games. That would be $16. That would be $64 a month. I did some research on Amazon. The average price of a bowling ball, the average price is $105. The little thing that you put your ball in, that you kind of jerk it up and down and it polishes your ball, that's $15. Shoes, the average price, $45. The average price of a bag, $18. That's $184 to start bowling. Now, granted, you can get a ball at the lanes. You can rent shoes. Do that free. You could. But if you're serious about it, then you probably should invest the money. Now, there are some people that just do it as a hobby. And you know what? I'm hoping you're having fun. I hope you are creating some great memories and some great moments. That's awesome. And I'm not against you. I'm trying to tell you, in the future, if this thing takes off, you're going to wish you had done it right the first time. If you want to do it for free, let's go down that road. Let's say you get a Tumblr account or a blogger website. You use archive.org. for your media hosting. That's free. These are all free. And you use Blueberry, BLUBRY.com for their free stats. There you go. That's how you podcast for free. Now, where are you going to get your stuff for iTunes? Right? Because you have your iTunes tags in there. And so maybe you use Blueberry as your website, because that's free as well. And you let them do your iTunes stuff. Or maybe you, I don't know, whatever you do, but you got to realize eventually if things take off, you're going to move. So let's say you use a free media host like Podomatic or whatever. We've talked about them in the past. And then things take off and you move. Here's what happens. You're stuck. iTunes needs to know you've moved. And with most, almost all free services, and with bad services that aren't free, like Podomatic and Buzzsprout and some of these other ones, they're not horrible, but you can't let iTunes know you moved. And so you're stuck there. That's why I say they hijack your feed. And so, yeah, you started out free. It really, really liked it. And the other question I want to ask you, Scott, is why are you podcasting? You know, you're helping people in karate tournaments. Are you a karate instructor? This might be bringing you in more clients, more students. So you're actually making money with your podcast. Think about that. Why are you podcasting? It's a big key here. But when you use free stuff and later you want to graduate and say, okay, I'm going to do this serious now. In some cases, I've seen people lose, and I'm going to go conservative here, 30% of their audience, if not 60, because there's no way to say, hey, I'm switching technology and this technology will just roll into the better technology. No, you've got to almost start from scratch, which means you have to go to your subscribers and say, hey, I know you subscribed over here, but I'm over here on my own website. And I need you to subscribe again. And they don't. I don't know why. I'm just telling you, I help people with this on a weekly basis. And I don't want to be the person to have to tell you, no, there is no way around this. All you can do is beg and hope they come, and beg some more and hope they come, and beg some more and hope, and they don't. I don't know why. Maybe they're not really into your show. I don't know. Anyway, it is. It hurts. It's painful. And so my goal here is, again, to bring my years of experience, my training background, and I've found the cheapest way. Trust me, I am a frugal dude. I do not spend a lot of money on anything. And we'll talk about this next week. I just bought a new mixer on eBay. I saved 50% because most cases there's nothing wrong with used equipment. But I want to help you avoid those pains. So yeah, I say here's the best way to do it. Spend $20 or less at Libsyn.com or Blueberry.com. Take your pick. You can get a free month at Libsyn by using the coupon code SOPFREE. So if you're into free, there's a free month. And I can work with you to determine how much hosting do you need. You may not need the $20 a month plan. Maybe you just need the $15 or the $7. So there's that. And then your web hosting will be maybe $9. If you buy most web hosting, they let you buy a year in advance. So if you're worried about a monthly fee showing up every month, buy it in a year. You'll save. Your hosting goes from about $7 a month to about $4. So it's cheaper. Now, granted, it's now $48 for the year versus $7 a month, but that's another way to save money. So I don't talk about podcasting for free because I don't believe in it. I don't believe any hobby that you do, it's going to cost you money. And when you use free stuff and it works and you're like, this is awesome, and then you want to grow, well, archive.org, it's been said, and I don't use them, so I can't speak personal here, but I've read that they throttle. In other words, they really slow down your download. So there's somebody on their phone and they've got to stay in their apartment because they got to stick around Wi-Fi to download, and your episode is taking forever because they throttle it. Well, you get what you pay for. And it's funny because everybody else's download is already done, but yours. And now you stick out. And then you're just, so I understand it, Scott. I really do. I've been there. I'm just saying, take a look around and see if there's some money you're spending elsewhere that you can use to pay for your hobby. In the same way that your wife probably wouldn't object if you went bowling. Just say, look, it's a hobby. But it's a hobby I really, 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 really like. And I want to do this. And if this is somehow tied to your business, it's marketing. And it might be, again, I'm not an accountant. See if you can write this stuff off for your taxes if it's promoting your business. So I'm way over. And so I thank you, Scott. I hope you realize that. I'm not saying that as a, I don't want to demean you and say, because I realize there are people that podcast for free every single day. And they're just doing it as a hobby. And God bless you. I'm glad you're having fun. But I speak to the serious hobbyist. And if you want a podcast for free, I can help you with that too. I just don't recommend it because I help people every day who have made that mistake. And I don't want you to make mistakes. I really don't want you to make this mistake. Please don't make this mistake. Because when you hire me to fix the mistake, that's when you're going to go, wow, this is expensive. And I go, yeah, it is. And so, you know, you're going to pay me now or pay me later, right? One way or another. So, are you going to pay somebody? Are you going to hire somebody else? You're going to hire a consultant who doesn't charge that much, but they don't know what they're doing. And so they take longer to fix the problem. So you pay them anyway. That's why I say there's a right way to do podcasting. Now, your content, you can do whatever you want. Just, I need to shut up. I'm off my notes at this point. And so thank you so much for tuning in. We'll start fading the music here. And if you want to start a podcast and learn the easiest way, the cost-effective way to do it, there's one place that has everything you need, schoolofpodcasting.com. I know that sounds kind of cocky, but I'm telling you, I've been there, I've done that, and I want you to avoid the hurdles. Schoolofpodcasting.com. If you want a little more hands-on, go over to howtopodcast.com. My next class starts on March 29th. I moved that back a week. And yes, I thank you to everybody, especially my buddy Joe Hicks, who said, Dave, tax day is in April, not March. So that's that 6 weeks class where we meet every Saturday. for 2 hours, and we walk you through the entire process. So if you're looking for a little more hands-on approach and the ability to ask questions live, go over to howtopodcast.com. If that's not your cup of tea, just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com, click the Join Now button. If you're joining the School of Podcasting, I do have a coupon code. Use the coupon code LISTENER, and that will get you in the door for a little less money. So I thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you again to Chris Christensen. Check him out at amateurtribeware.com. Check out Scott Johnson over at computertutorflorida.com. And let me remind you that it's time to start living a life worth podcasting about. Take care, everybody, and God bless.